Porsche's Fine Jewelry. This is Dylan.
Hey Dylan, it's Emily. How are you?
Good, Emily. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So
What's going on?
Valerie know earlier that the package I sent yesterday for you guys and got stuck. So, but I do have some.
Stuck.
Yeah, it's in Memphis.
That's happening right now, I guess.
Yeah, even your package you guys sent back to me a couple of days ago.
What's going on in Memphis?
They just can't handle the littlest letter. I don't understand why FedEx keeps them as their main hub, but it's beyond me. I looked at Memphis's weather yesterday, right? And yes, they're teeter-tottering between like 30 degrees and whatnot, and some on and off rain and ice. But that's
okay.
Not enough to slow things down, I don't think. I mean, even up here.
It is
we,
in the South, you know what I mean?
That's true.
Not in
they
New
get
York.
This every year lately.
I mean, I just wish them the best. They're probably struggling.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like you would think FedEx would have switched it by now because it's been like this for the last, like, few years, you know?
Yep. Okay.
But, you know.
I don't know if it was time sensitive. To tell you the truth, I don't know what this
I don't think it was. I think it was just the goods for the month. But I do have some good news. I just want to let you guys know ahead of time, since I have it in front of me, that two of the stones had the price had already dropped. So I wanted to give you guys pain.
Okay.
I sent you, I sent you guys a carat and a quarter and a carat 50 oval in that package because I know you guys wanted
okay.
more fancies.
Yeah.
The carat 20 oval, I just want you to know that on the metal copy it'll say 3510.
Okay.
The new price is 3360.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
Big difference.
Oh, yeah. And then the carat half that'll be in there says 5850 on the memo, and now it's 5700.
I should be writing this down, actually.
Oh, sorry. Let me know. I can always give it to you again.
Let me see here.
I figured at least I give it to you now before you start plugging everything in when you get it.
Okay, hold on. So the 150...
The price you'll see on the memo will be $58.50.
Okay.
But the new cost is $5,700.
Okay, cool. And then tell me that first one again, would you?
Yep, the 120. The memo will say $35.10, but it is $33.60 now.
Cool.
Okay.
Great. Thanks, Emily.
No problem. Let me know if anything...
How's things going over there in... Where are you, Great Neck or something?
No, I'm actually Western New York. I'm in between Buffalo and Syracuse, so I'm in Rochester. Right underneath,
I feel
like
the idea of 38 degrees in Rochester is like a funny thing.
Try a balmy 20
Sounds
degrees.
Sounds almost balmy, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It was 13 when I left my house.
Party.
Yeah. It's fine.
These poor guys
like
in Memphis.
Oh, yeah. And then we
a lot of them haven't even seen snow. Ever.
I know. That's why it blows my mind why FedEx doesn't switch it. It's like, if you're going to have more winter weather in the South, why don't you adjust to somewhere that's a little more used to the weather?
Maybe that's why. I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows? I mean, I had one that's over, I sent a package on Tuesday to someone that's over near Albany, New York, and it went, of course, got to go through the motions, went down to Memphis, got stuck, and it finally got delivered this morning.
Wow.
And they're maybe, that's like 4 or 5 hours from us?
Yeah.
Crazy. But, you know.
A lot of these places, like, don't even have de-icing trucks.
They have
to make them. They have
crazy.
To, like, poke a hole in a bag and put it on the back of a pickup.
Right. But this is what I'm saying. It's like, I feel like the winters lately have, like in the last few years at least, have been more winter in the South lately. So it's like you would think now they would have, you know what I mean, come up with some sort of solution at least just in case winter happens, you know?
I think they keep thinking that eventually it's going to, like, go back to normal.
Just change, you know. But maybe,
yeah.
I mean, who Who knows? I mean, we're getting different weather than we have been in the last few years. We've only been getting half the amount of snow in the last few years than we normally do. But already this year, we're already at a foot.
Wow, a foot is half for the month.
Yeah, yeah. We average about 100 inches a season, so or more. We're right in the southern shore of Lake Ontario, and we got Lake Erie 45 minutes west of us. So we get those fans, you know, so.
Yep.
Yeah, so unfortunately.
I don't envy you.
Yeah, I don't. I even though I was born and raised here, I don't like the snow. Because as a kid, I trudged through it because I used to take buses and walking, you know. But as I worked hard to get my first car, so I didn't have to take a bus anymore. Because let me tell you, that scars me from the snow.
That's terrible. Do you guys even have, like, I mean, it's Western New York. You've got Appalachia kind of Adirondack. Do you have skiing?
We do, yeah. So we, in the Finger Lakes, which is between us and Syracuse, it's a little bit south of Rochester. It's very hilly and mountainous in that area. The first ski resort is the Bristol. So it's about 20, 30 minutes outside of Rochester.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's not too far. The high school I went to had a ski club, so and they would go to Bristol.
That's the only thing that redeems the winter to me.
Yes, and snowboarding. Some people head out, like, in Batavia, which is between Rochester and Buffalo, to go snowboarding or the tubing. So, yes, and then we have a lot of hills here where you can actually do your own, where kids go on the, oh, my gosh, I'm, like, having a brain pause right now.
Tobogganing?
Well, people do that. But just the sledding. Sledding is the word I'm thinking of. You can just go sledding. There's a lot of hills here that you can go sledding on.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Cool. They make it work. They try to do some events during the winter, like igloo building contests and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's too cold for me.
Yeah, you have to be pretty committed to that.
Yeah, because it's hours spending outside building these things.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Not for me.
We did a big event last night. It wasn't a big event. It was like an event, first Thursday, which is like a downtown type thing.
Okay.
And nobody came because it was raining.
Oh, no.
Freezing and raining.
Oh, I know. We have, like, the biggest, apparently, according to a new thing, even out. We outbeat the Rockefeller Lighting for, like, one of the number one United States tree lightings here.
Really?
The Genesee Brewery does a keg tree, and they do a lighting every year. And I kid you not, like, it draws, like, hundreds or if not thousands of people every year.
Really?
And it's tonight. So, I mean, best of luck to the people that want to dress up and deal with the cold. But it does
that
draw a lot
nice
of people.
Tonight.
It is. If you would get a chance.
Seriously, back east, I feel like.
Oh, yes. We're a big beer area here. In wineries. But if you get a second, just Google Genesee Brewery keg lighting, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
You said peg?
Keg, like a beer keg.
Peg. Hennessy?
Genesee, like the Genesee River.
Got it.
It's off of the Genesee River is where the brewery is. It runs right through our downtown area.
Keg tree lining. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's like an official thing, so.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
I think they did that this year already, or they're probably doing it soon in downtown Boise.
Gotcha.
I swear, this place looks just like Boise.
Yeah, so this is like we got waterfalls because the Genesee River runs through our downtown area and ends at Lake Ontario. And so this is like the biggest brewery. The restaurant is so good, let me tell you. I love the restaurant. And they do a lot of events through the brewery, and it's a really cool area, and they just revamped it. They're actually trying to turn that section of the river into a state park now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. That's what Boise did. They turned all of their riverfront property along, like, the whole river for, like, essentially, like, 10 miles all through town into like city properties. It's like park front.
Try to promote people to come and visit.
It works.
That's awesome. Yeah,
it's a unique thing.
I mean, that's like one of the key places over there. When you have people say come to Rochester, New York, most people don't even realize what the hell Rochester is. You know.
Sure.
The main thing is one of the big things is the Genesee River and the waterfalls. Like, if you want to look at the downtown landscape and stuff, that's one of the big areas over there. I mean, we got multiple other things. Like, Kodak is right over there, too, like the original Kodak building, because Kodak started here. And Xerox as well. The big Xerox building is not far from there as well. So.
Mm-hmm. This is, like, the type of area that I would want to see if I ever came up to New England.
We do buying events a couple times a year, so if you ever do want to come visit,
that's a nice
excuse.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
Are any of them in the fall so I can peep?
Yes, so we do, the peak, yes. So we usually do it the, like the last, I think second to last or the last weekend of October every year. And then April, mid to end of
genuinely.
April. So if you guys want to consider ever coming up here to our buying event, it's basically like a mini show, but inside of our own facility here. Like we have guest speakers come, we do seminars, we do roundtables so you can have discussions with other retailers, bounce ideas off. It gives you a chance to look our full inventory here, pick out what you need, even bring customers calls so you can specially pick out items. So it's like mini show or going to like Antwerp.
Yeah, exactly, like the IJO trip.
Yes. Yep. So.
Yeah, it's all the business expense. I was going to ask you, do you guys do you guys get like feedback from some of the other sellers about like what they do to make natural guns a little more like appealing to people? I mean, we're seeing a renewed interest, I feel like, in general. But like, it's not like the days where every customer was dropping G's for naturals.
Right. Let me ask you one key thing, because this has been a big thing that we noticed a lot with the retailers. When you or any of your sales reps have a customer, take care of a customer as soon as they walk in, I guess maybe I should just ask you, what is your process when they walk in? Do you...
Like, what assumptions are we making?
Yeah, because there's a key thing here that has been a big thing with a lot of stores that they don't even realize is happening. Basically, it's, are you looking for natural or lab? Just off the bat, if you're asking that call or that question, that...
It equates them.
Correct.
Or equivocates? Is that
yes.
I don't
them
know.
In the same
but
level.
I know what you mean.
Yep. So that was a big thing, because this is all stuff that we've talked about at the buying events and stuff. And then just overall, just speaking to a bunch of retailers across the country, that's been a big... like general consensus of what happens too. Not saying everyone does it, but it has been something unsubconsciously people are doing, I guess. The other thing is there's
speaking
a store
visually, right?
Right, yes. So like just automatically just putting the lab in front of them instead of waiting for them to cue, no, I only want to look at lab, just automatically assume natural.
I mean, what kind of like stock do you tend to see of natural jewelers having on hand a lot? Because, like, we've got a fair number. You know, I haven't had the chance this year to, like, buy a lot of them. I mean, I bought all of them that came, but they've all been rounds.
Right.
You know, like, like with lab, we have the benefit of having like a much bigger selection of shapes and colors. So that's, I think, why the tray tends to come out, because creatively,
I get it. That you get to show them the
better.
Different shapes, right?
Yeah.
I get it.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know how many more naturals we should have on hand.
I would definitely. So that's the big trend lately, right? Elongated fancies or just fancies in general have been really, really trending more. Even though rounds will forever always be the number one selling shape by far, it's like 85 to 15, you know? But when it comes to certain specific requests, fancies have been really powerhousing through lately. So it depends on what size. I would look at your data based on size range you think will sell, or at least price point. And my suggestion is maybe buy at least one of every single fancy and natural. If you obviously, if you can't afford a 2-carat in every shape, that's fine. Buy maybe a half or 3/4 or even a 90 or 1-carat. And then that way you have the shaping and you can gauge with them in terms of the shaping in the natural based on where their budget is, and then you can figure out sizing and then obviously get it memoed in. But at least you'll have the natural in the shaping to show them versus bringing out the lab and then that already should, they'll ask how much is this, and you know, that then brings them back down the path of the lab. So at least maybe start small with the fancies and natural and then work your way up when it comes to calls. And if you would like to do with that with me in the future, we can. We could build a program around it. And then you always have our lifetime trade-up. So anytime you buy anything from me, if, as long as it's natural and certified for the loose, you have a one-for-one trade, and you get the full value of what you paid for towards the next one, as long as you have the original cert and the stone is undamaged.
Right.
So it kind of is like a, it's a risk-free situation, you know. But that's something you and I can kind of figure out based on your data and what you feel and what you're comfortable with. We can build something around that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so for me, the focus this year has all been gold.
Yeah.
You know, Emily, it occurs to me, this is like the first time we've had a full conversation.
I know.
But that's how it goes. Yeah, I mean, this year my focus has been mainly gold because of the volatility in that market. I mean, I think
that's crazy.
It's air quotes stabilized. I personally think it's still going to keep going up, so I bought as much as I could to insulate people from, like, the price change.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a lot of stock, actually, in here that I haven't marked up to try and, like, keep it.
Move it. And leave it the way.
Yeah, to at least to keep it accessible for people.
Yeah.
We've
done the
like,
same with diamonds,
same,
too.
Right. Yeah, and
with
it makes sense to do that. At the same time, yeah, God, that's a hell of a thing, too.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, despite the increased cost of gold, it's like being paired with this, like, increased interest in natural diamonds that I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Which I find...
It's funny. It always happens. It was the same way during the pandemic.
I think it's like a pendulum. Yeah, well, sure, people had more money.
But this is the thing. At first, it was a panic, right? No one knew what was going to happen. Everyone's like, oh, my God, we're going to lose our business and things like that. But at the end of the day, those 3 years were literally the not even just the fact that diamond prices went up, but there was more units sold in natural diamonds. I mean, yes, lab-grown kind of flourished and really pushed through during that time, but that was due to, obviously, natural diamonds just skyrocketing because of availability at that time. But it still created a huge demand where people loved it. And but that even though the prices on natural diamonds were so high, people still were buying. So that it's kind of almost the same thing. That's why I was just talking to somebody about that the other day. I'm like, it's so funny. Even if gold is high, people are still wanting bigger naturals right now. Like,
they
I'm selling more 2-3 carats than I've ever sold, ever.
Yes. It's almost like, I mean, the markets are, like, affecting each other because labs are capitalizing off of all of the marketing and pomp that diamonds have had for the last 60 years.
Yep.
And then the flip side is big rocks are now what's popular.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you have now people catching on to the lab and not really, like, I've heard more and more now that people are starting to say, oh, it looks fake, you know? I'm starting to hear that more and more.
Even though they're looking more like natural than ever.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's a subconscious thing.
Well, I was talking to another jeweler about what happened with sapphires in the 1990s.
Mm.
And sapphires are not diamonds, but... The market got inundated with these
same thing with lab-grown
sapphires.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it caused, they are no longer used, essentially.
Right.
Like, maybe Chatham-type fancy stuff is still around, but, like, realistically, it's not used by jewelers.
Right.
And I can only imagine how long it's going to take before, like, the lab thing bottoms out.
It's a matter of time, because overseas they're already starting to bottom out.
Yeah, well, they can make them for like $25 a carat.
Mm-hmm. Well, Well, not only that, they're also making synthetic lead at this point. They're literally taking CZs and coating it with lab-grown material.
Really? That's a new one. I haven't heard that.
It's a little scary, but yes. Because they're testing with lab.
I mean, jewelers are essentially the public's access to this subject matter. And when jewelers stop buying, or when it becomes quite obvious that jewelers aren't buying any of these labs that are being sold, then I think that'll make a difference, too.
Yeah.
There's also a really big article in Wall Street Journal from De Beers. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't.
They interviewed the CEO. Yeah, he pointed out himself, he was like, you know, the same stone in lab 10 years ago would have cost you 10 times what it does now. So, what does your logic say about where that's headed?
Yeah. I mean, when Pandora is selling lab-grown as Pandora's diamonds, that's a whole other situation. I mean, you've got Kay's and Zales even getting out of lab-grown. Because they did this whole survey, I think almost 2 years ago now, that it's just not sustainable. So they're even trying to change their market in terms of what they're pushing out there. And to mention, they also own James Allen and Blue Nile. So they still sell lab on there. So, I mean, it's just, even Walmart, you can buy a lab-grown and a finished ring, a 1-carat solitaire lab-grown and a finished ring for $100 on Walmart. Granted, they say it's gold, but it's silver. Our owner bought one just to try to test it to see what the deal was. But, you know, that's the problem with the Internet. And then in terms of the coded CZs that I was talking about, there was a jeweler, somebody posted in Jewelers Hopping Jewelers about it, saying they found one from a seller on Amazon, a third-party seller, and it was an 8-millimeter stone for $50. Turned out to be some were moissanite, some were the CZs coated.
I am
aware of the CZs coated because this time last year, one of our suppliers came to our office and wanted to show Mike, our owner, what's hitting the market right now, and it's scary. He brought it right down to us to show us to see what is hitting it. And I kid you not, when I first opened the paper, a blue hinge to it. And it didn't look like it to the naked eye, but when I looped it, it had an oily look because of the coverage. It's just a coating. This is what's online, you know? Literally the description on the Amazon thing said a lab-grown diamond.
Well, you know, I tell people who come in here, because they'll be like, people, I don't know why they feel the need to have this conversation with us here, but they're like, we heard you could buy a lab diamond online, and I just tell them, good luck. Good luck, genuinely.
You don't know what you're actually really buying. There's so many hidden issues. None to mention they bait and switch people all the time. They're not accurate. They're garbage. There's so many different things. Even when it comes to the natural diamonds on Blue Nile, James Allen, Brilliant Earth, and all those websites and things like that, there's so many hidden issues even with the natural diamonds. GIA is not the way GIA used to be anymore. When EGL International...
I've heard that too.
Yeah, when EGL International got eliminated, there had to be a price point stone somewhere in the market, right? GIA just got to be too expensive for the average person. So this has been going on for 10 years, but the Indian lab for GIA has been corrupt that long. So GIA, what they do is the high-ups in that lab pay the little guy that's grading an extra couple bucks, you know? In India, that goes a long way. And they'll grade it better than what it should be. That's why that lab cannot grade anything higher than a 3-carat. Because if anyone with 3-carat money can pay for a lawyer to sue. So the problem is GIA kind of covered that up over the years by getting rid of how to figure out which lab it was graded at based on serial numbers and stuff. So now
and
there's
then altogether stopping lab grading.
Yeah. So it's over the time, there's now four different types of grading when it comes to GIA. There's four different levels. And it's kind of when EGL was mixed in with GIA back in the day. It's you have to have a price point stone somewhere. The garbage crap that's badly graded is what's on Blue Nile and James Allen.
Yeah.
So that's why prices are too good to be true for what they are.
That's crazy. I didn't know that because I saw like their prices declining across the industry, and I saw sort of a commodity value swing. And there is that effect, I know.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that there was like, I didn't realize
about
there, that. But
well, if you think about it, you pull up Blue Nile right now, right? We'll just say 1 carat round GSI2. Pull up the list, 60 stones on the list, right? All the same grade, all the same color, clarity, whatever. Why is there like a 70% difference in price from the least expensive to the most expensive? You think about it. They're all the same on paper, right? But then when you actually look at the least expensive one, you'll start seeing why. Because it should have never been an SA2. It should have been an I1 or I2. The G color really is maybe an H or I. Or there's also another thing that's come to light more since the pandemic, which is something called BGM, which is brown, green, or milky hues in diamonds, which Valerie's aware of because you guys originally had Rare and Alyssa too. You guys originally had my Rare and Forever when we first started it, which we harped on BGM a lot. So the most common one you'll see is the brown, which will be a lot on Blue Nile and James Allen. When you're seeing that 360 video spin, especially when it's the video is from the diamond behind, you'll see the brown hinge. Even if it's a G diamond, a G graded color, it'll have a brown hinge. That's BGM. So that's another price decrease right there. So this is where the problem is when it comes to the natural diamond game. Unfortunately, there's too many games out there about it, and why it also kind of hurt the industry a little bit because people are buying.
People had to flip in their dollars and cents in between.
Correct. So, and then the other problem is with the decrease in the pricing is that in 21, natural diamond prices went up 21 times. So it's like...
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So...
What?
Yeah, it went up that many times between fancies and rounds, different times, obviously. But they went up that much. So obviously there's going to be a price decrease because they went up so high at the peak of the pandemic. So obviously there's been a decrease over the time, but yes, there has also been an additional decrease from pre-pandemic levels. So right now, diamond prices are still very soft, but they have gone slightly up a little bit due to the shortages here in the U.S.
Yeah.
With the tariffs.
Well, the tariffs won't help with that at all.
Correct. So, but it's kind of like a balance. But if you think about it, we have some 1-carat natural rounds in our system right now that are GHSIs from $2,000 to $2,800.
Yeah. That's really good. That's
you
like
know what
half.
I mean?
Yeah.
That, 4 years ago, that was like a $4,000 to $5,000 stone.
Totally.
Because of the peak pricing. So that's why I think it's a big chance right now for naturals to really push through because pricing is a little bit better than it was before.
That's what I'm thinking as well. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities to jump on right now. You have to choose which ones you do.
Yes.
But I personally think they are like a commodity, and in that way, their price is like, it's not like a labs where it can just crater.
Yeah,
like it's a long-term desirable good, so it can go through fluctuations.
Yep. And despite the fluctuations,
it's on my mind.
Oh yeah, yeah. And like I was saying, is despite the fluctuations, though, that's why it's good to work with me in terms of the natural diamonds because of the lifetime trade-up. Because I just had someone that bought a diamond in 21 for me and traded in for another stone, a bigger stone. So end up being obviously a little bit more money for the trade, but they that value on that, I think it was a 2-carat, that value on the 2-carat decreased like $3,000 or $4,000 since they bought it. So they no longer have that expensive product in their hands anymore. They now have something of more of what they're selling. So it kind of balances out, so you're not just sitting on that stone. So that's what I'm saying. Despite even though price decreases and things like that, we're still willing to help and take things back.
I think that's just the thing about jewelry in general is it's like it's still 100% service oriented. Even with there's like all these new like portals like online like brokers for diamonds and stuff, but I only use them on very rare occasions.
What, like VDB?
Probably once or twice total. One's called Unbridled. They're all the same. It's like Nevada, Unbridled. They're all the same thing, essentially. Gotcha. But you don't get any. There's no like. There's nothing to fall back on in terms of reliability.
Yeah.
So it's not something that I think is really going to actually penetrate very far into the industry. Like
Nevada's starting to struggle a little bit because of all the tariff stuff. Because a lot of is essentially over in India.
They're essentially drop shippers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they buy from us.
I kid you not.
They literally buy from us, lab and natural at this point.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, so, anyway, I figured that's probably not going to change anytime soon.
No, no. But let me know if anything. We can always brainstorm the first
figure.
Whenever you're ready, we can figure out where you want to put it.
I only work with three of you guys.
Yeah.
And it's you, GN Diamond, and then this little guy in New York City named Tiefenbrunn, who's like a pearl and like can get it cheaper type of a guy. So that's pretty much it. Like I don't think there's really anyone else.
I appreciate it. I do though.
Yeah.
But in this industry, I know people use other people. I get it. I mean, that's the name of the game.
Well, sure.
But I know I'm never going to be, you know, I know we can't always fill all of our calls. I mean, I do fill about 96%, 95% at this point. But I know everyone can't fill everything, so you're going to have other people. Totally understand.
Well, yeah. But, like, they're all the, I mean, they all are the same, like, established, like, people-backed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the, I'm not really interested in any other kind.
Totally understand.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chip.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I should probably let you go, huh?
Yeah. Well, no worries. Well, I'm glad we finally had this conversation, but if anything, let me know, okay?
I will.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Dylan.
Take care, Emily.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.